Welcome to the Sarah Summers Podcast. Hey, y'all. It's Sarah Summers, and welcome back to the loyal listeners of Sociology in the Modern World. We are here today with four experts of several different sociologists to discuss the topic of homeschooling and how it affects socialization. According to the Washington Post, around 1.9 million to 2.7 million students are currently being homeschooled in America. The rise in non-traditional schooling presents concerns for the future generation's development of social skills. Without further ado, let me introduce you to our experts. Hello, my name is Emma, and I'm an expert on all things George Mead. After years and years of research, I have learned so much about his theories. I have specialized specifically on his theories regarding social behaviorism and on all topics regarding the self. Mead believes that interactions between individuals is what shapes their own personality and behavior. He also believes that the socialized self is different from your own all-natural self, and that over time, our I and me become different. The I of yourself is your non-socialized, sporadic self, and your me is your socialized self, and how you've learned how to act over receiving many different critiques and deriving from your past conversations to be the best version of yourself. George Mead thinks that we develop skills of understanding people's hidden language and symbols through our daily interactions, and that these interactions have a deeper meaning within. With the strenuous research I have done on George Mead, I believe that he would not approve of homeschooling and would opt for all students to partake in public schooling environment, where students are able to interact and connect with their peers, their teachers, and everyone around them.
Hello, my name is Sam, and I have spent much of my life studying the works of sociologist Charles Horton Cooley. Through years of research, I've come to deeply understand his ideas and how they help us make sense of human behavior and society. Cooley's concept of the looking glass self explains how we shape our sense of identity through social interactions. He believed that we imagine how others see us, interpret their reactions, and build our self-image based on what we think they see. His work on primary groups like family and close friends show how important these relationships are for emotional growth, moral development, and personal identity. Cooley's theories remind us that our social environments and relationships play a big role in who we become. This makes them very helful for understanding how different ways of learning, like homeschooling or online schooling, affect children's development. Cooley would likely argue that limiting in-person interactions could have a negative impact on social and emotional growth, since close relationships and face-to-face connections are so important for building a strong sense of self.
Hello, listeners. This is Vanya, and I'll be presenting my extensive, decades-long research on the world-renowned French sociologist Émile Durkheim. His focus was on social cohesion. In other words, how can we join people together and strengthen society? He believed that when formal institutions, like educational and economic structures, properly serve a society, its people will experience a shared sense of norms, values, beliefs, and behaviors. He called this phenomenon class consciousness, and he believed that this was the foundation for social cohesion. But how do we achieve this? So Durkheim was super interested in society's influence on individuals. In fact, he coined the term social facts to describe the external forces that social structures might exert on a person. For example, an individual will drive the speed limit because it's the law. The social fact in this case would be the law, and we can see its influence on this person's behavior. In his book Suicide, Durkheim argued that when there are sudden changes in these societal regulations, people experience a phenomenon called anomie, where they feel disconnected from society because its structures are not serving them properly. A good example of this disruption could be a financial crisis. According to Durkheim, the solution is for social structures to be regulated to give people the means to achieve their desires. Therefore, Durkheim's stance would be against homeschooling because a regulated, structured, formal education system is necessary for social cohesion.
Hello, my name is Ashley, and I'm your resident expert on W.E.B. Du Bois. the pioneering sociologist, historian, and civil rights activist. After years of immersion in his groundbreaking works, I have come to understand Du Bois' profound views on the role of education in shaping racial identity and combating systematic oppression. Du Bois believed education was not just about knowledge, it was about liberation. He emphasized the importance of culturally affirming, equitable education to help marginalized individuals achieve what he called self-consciousness manhood. His idea of double consciousness, the tension being both American and Black, illustrates why mainstream education often falls short for marginalized groups. Schools frequently ignore or misrepresent Black history, failing to culturally pride in culture heritage. Homeschooling, in Du Bois' eyes, would be a power act of resistance when used to counteract systematic racism and instill a strong sense of identity. By providing children with curriculum that reflects their culture and history, Black families create a sanctuary of empowerment, directing alignly with Du Bois' envision of education as a tool for uplift. However, Du Bois would also caution against homeschooling becoming isolating. He campaigned communal progress and believed education should serve not just the individual, but the broader community. So would Du Bois approve of homeschooling? See, I would believe he'd view it as a valid response to systematic injustice, but only if it fosters both personal empowerment and collective advancement.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. Let's jump right in. As a mother of two beautiful boys, my children's social well-being is one of the most important things. I'm curious how traditional schooling supports my children in their social development.
From Charles Cooley's perspective, traditional schooling offers a better environment for children's growth, especially in developing primary groups, which are important for shaping moral understanding and emotional bonds. In his work, Social Organization, A Study of the Larger Mind, from 1910, Cooley emphasizes the importance of primary groups such as friends and classmates, as they create the environment where individuals form their sense of self and learn how to interact with others. In traditional schools, shared experiences of collaboration teach children to cooperate and solve problems. Recess is a prime example of how school helps children develop socially and morally. During recess, kids learn how to share, play fairly, and include others, which improves their moral skills and empathy. Traditional schools also give children a chance to interact with peers from different backgrounds, which is harder to do in homeschooling. Frederick Clow's article, Cooley's Doctrine of Primary Groups in 1919, touches on the importance of social cohesion, which adds to this concept. In school, children meet classmates from various cultures and religions, helping them learn inclusion as well. Cooley believed that shared experiences are key to building a connected society. While homeschooling focuses on family relationships, it often lacks the variety of social experiences found in traditional schools.
I think Durkheim would be very pleased with Cooley's argument that schooling and interpersonal relationships create social cohesion. When you mentioned morality, I thought of Durkheim's Moral Education from 1925, which talks a lot about the importance of schooling as a means to teach children about what is right and wrong, and how to sacrifice their wants for the good of the group. This can only be done if students are interacting, playing, sharing, and navigating life among their peers, not to mention displaying obedience to their teachers.
Mead also has a very similar perspective to Cooley when it comes to learning how others see you to become your socialized self. Mead's mind, self, and society suggests that the I and the me need the traditional schooling that allows for a lot of natural socialization, which is important to the child's social development. These interactions with peers and teachers affect how the student sees themselves, and then it determines how they interact with others. This is the time where the child's I and me separate the most as they learn who they want to be. The me doesn't just get created on its own. Children need to learn who they want to be, and they create that by observing others and how people react to what they say. It isn't that the I isn't an amazing portrayal of themselves, it just sometimes isn't the correct way to act in certain situations, and sometimes may not get an amazing response from others at times.
From Du Bois's perspective, formal schooling holds unique potential for fostering moral education and social development. Through, he would critique its systematic shortcomings. Du Bois viewed education as a pathway to liberation and a means to empower individuals with marginalized communities. However, his concept of double consciousness suggests that traditional schooling can both harm and help in moral and social development. In traditional schools, children encounter diverse peers and experiences, which Du Bois might see as a space for developing the empathy and moral consciousness needed to combat systematic injustices. Such interactions align with Du Bois' belief in collective uplift and shared progress. He would value the exposure children receive to different cultural norms and the opportunities for cooperative learning as it prepares them to challenge inequality and foster inclusivity. However, Du Bois might criticize traditional schooling for perpetuating cultural misrepresentation and systematic bias. While school offers chances to develop interpersonal and moral skills, they may fail to affirm the identities of marginalized children, potentially stifling their personal growth. Du Bois would likely advocate for reforms to ensure schools nurture both moral understanding and cultural pride, essential for building strong individuals and communities.
I think that's a really good point, which Durkheim, if presented with the issue, would agree requires some sort of reform. Above all, he wanted social systems to properly serve people to create solidarity. But I think he would still argue that despite Du Bois's criticisms, traditional schooling is still the way that people will, over time, learn more about the importance of diversity and inclusivity. This is because he believed that formal schooling is how children learn about practical life, but also gain the resources and exposure they need as adults to bring about change.
Boy, am I glad I put my boys in a public elementary school. But how could children be affected if they aren't in that environment, but instead taught at home using a homeschool curriculum? Well, it gets tricky when it comes to homeschooling. Homeschooling keeps kids out of the classroom and unable to build these relationships and social skills on their own. Social skills aren't something that is taught. It's something that's gained from experience. School is all about allowing children to have a safe space for failure. It might sound cruel, but teachers want children to fail so that they can see how to respond in the future in a better, more effective way. George B. discusses this in The Nature of the Past. He states, "The past is not simply a record or a residue of what has been, but a factor in the present insofar as the future becomes determined by the use of the past." He emphasizes how the past isn't just the memory or a record, like he said, but it is an active component to our decision-making in the future. The past creates the me of a person. We all know kids have no filter and will say whatever they want, but school is what makes children more personable and able to know what is right and wrong to say. Most people argue that homeschooling is needed because their child has anxiety when it comes to the classroom. However, in a study by Dr. Monique Wittet, she said that this actually avoids the problem. Mead would also agree that giving in and letting children stay home does not allow them to face their anxiety head on, and it stops them from learning how to overcome it. Children that struggle with anxiety disorders sometimes feel much more comfortable being at home than being in a school setting, but what we know is that when we're anxious and we avoid the things that make us anxious, it actually perpetrates that anxiety and tends to make it worse and become a more chronic problem. So that would be an example where supporting the child in maybe a smaller classroom setting or a really supportive school environment might actually be healthier for them, said Wittet. So even if parents are trying to help their children by keeping them home where they're more comfortable, it might make the problem worse over time, and it doesn't help the child learn how to overcome these fears and to become a better self.
Cooley would likely agree with the first part of Mead's argument here. If children are taught at home using a homeschool curriculum and are not exposed to the social environment of traditional schools, they may miss out on key opportunities for social development and identity formation. Cooley's concept of the looking glass self suggests that children form their self-concept through their interactions with others and the feedback they receive from those around them. In traditional schools, children constantly engage with peers, teachers, and classmates, receiving reactions and judgments that help shape their sense of self. For example, when children participate in group activities, they learn how others perceive them, which helps them evaluate their abilities. This helps them create the child's me, according to Mead. Without this external feedback from a variety of people, homeschooling could limit a child's ability to develop a full understanding of themselves in the context of a broader social group. In Human Nature in the Social Order, 1902, Cooley argues that in Human Nature in Social Order from 1902, Cooley argues that individuals are not isolated beings. Instead, their identity is deeply influenced by social interactions. Without these interactions, a child may struggle to develop the social skills necessary to navigate larger communities. In homeschooling, the primary social interaction often comes from within the family unit, which may limit the child's exposure to diverse viewpoints and behaviors. As discussed in Victor Gekas and Michael Schwabel's article Beyond the Looking Glass Self in 1983, children rely on a variety of social interactions to develop self-esteem and a sense of efficacy. In homeschooling, the lack of varied social experiences can lead to a narrower sense of self, potentially making it harder for children to adapt to diverse environments later in life. Traditional schooling provides a richer set of opportunities for feedback, enabling children to better understand themselves and develop crucial social and moral skills.
That was super insightful. As a professor himself, Durkheim gave many lectures about how schooling fits into sociology. In one of his transcripted lectures titled Education and Sociology from 1922, he emphasizes that children are taught about society's customs and set up with the tools they need to succeed in the real world through systemized education. In other words, children who are in non-traditional schooling, raised the way that their parents want them to be, fail to learn about the importance of the collective. In contrast with Cooley and Mead, who talk about personal development, Durkheim is more concerned with the child's ability to navigate social life within the collective. Expert Robert Prus explains that Durkheim believed in formal education teaching a child discipline or the controlling of their desires. So we can see that he was more focused on the interactions between students and their teachers. By submitting to an authority figure and not having complete natural liberty, each child learns that a healthy society can only flourish if they operate in a collective way rather than an individualistic one. Traditionally, schooled children also learn the other domains of morality, attachment, and autonomy. In Moral Education from 1925, Durkheim defines attachment as the commitment to being in the group and autonomy as taking accountability for one's own actions. Along with discipline, these domains of morality are extremely important for a child to learn in an environment like school through interpersonal interactions and relationships, ultimately determining their social functioning as an adult. He would say that homeschool children generally don't live in this reality. By growing up in such an individualistic environment, they aren't really sharing the experiences of their peers and are unable to learn about practical, integrated life before entering the adult world.
See, that's exactly it. Like Durkheim was saying, if children are homeschooled and not exposed to the dynamic environment of traditional schools, they may experience significant impacts on their interpersonal skill development. Du Bois would likely argue that such isolation can hinder a child's ability to engage with broader social groups. A critical element of overcoming the barriers associated with the concept of double consciousness. He viewed education as both a tool for self-improvement and a means to engage with society to effect systematic change. Homeschooling, while providing an individualized education experience, may limit a child's exposure to diverse peers and environments. For Du Bois, this lack of social diversity can inhibit the development of critical social skills required for navigating the dual identity of marginalized communities. The absence of group activities, peer interactions, and teacher feedback inherent in traditional schooling could hinder a child's ability to form a robust social self and to learn from different perspectives. Additionally, Du Bois emphasized the importance of confronting social structures. In homeschooling, children might not encounter the external challenges and feedback necessary to develop resilience and adaptability. While homeschooling can offer culturally affirming curriculum, Du Bois might argue for a balance, preserving cultural identity while engaging with diverse environments to cultivate a well-rounded and socially adept individual.
Wow, those skills are more important than a tractor on a busy day at the farm. But how does this homeschooling affect children's roles in society and the way they understand the world around them?
Well, the development of interpersonal skills in childhood is essential for understanding how children will later fit into society, and traditional schooling plays a significant role in this development. Cooley, in Personal Aspects of Social Process, 1918, discusses how individuals' identities are shaped by societal processes, such as cultural norms and social class. He stresses that true success in society should be measured not only by material wealth, but also personal growth, ethical values, and contributions to the collective good. Traditional schools provide children with an opportunity to practice these values in a collaborative environment. By working with peers from various backgrounds and engaging in group activities like class discussions and team projects, students develop the skills needed to understand social cohesion. Through these interactions, children learn that society functions best when individuals work together towards a common goal, laying the foundation for future participation in civic and professional life. Social cohesion is central to Cooley's understanding of society. In Social Consciousness from 1906, he argues that the interconnectedness between individuals creates a shared sense of awareness that binds society together. For a society to function well, it must have a collective consciousness, which he explains as an understanding and empathy that emerge from frequent social interactions and communication among its members. Diverse interactions found in public schools help children recognize their role in the larger societal context and prepares them to work effectively within diverse groups as adults. In contrast, homeschooling often limits a child's exposure to a wide range of social situations. Without regular interaction with a variety of peers and adults, homeschooled children may not develop the same level of social awareness and understanding of different perspectives, making it harder for them to contribute to society's collective goals. Without the everyday practice of cooperating with people from different backgrounds, they may struggle with understanding how to contribute to the social cohesion that holds society together. Cooley's work shows that shared experience in school settings are essential for fostering a sense of connectedness, responsibility, and empathy, which are necessary for successful participating in school, in society. Ooh. Cooley's work shows that shared experiences in a school setting are essential for fostering a sense of connectedness, responsibility, and empathy, which are necessary for successfully participating in society.
So Durkheim and Cooley definitely go hand in hand when it comes to the societal effects that traditional schooling has, especially with talking about collective consciousness. He would also agree that each child, regardless of their class, has the right to receive formal schooling. But another big part of all of this for Durkheim is sacrifice and submission. Children must submit to their teachers in their youth to be able to gain the knowledge and experiences that will help them navigate life as adults with autonomy. By the time they're older, they will know the importance of sacrificing for the good of society. In The Division of Labor and Society, Durkheim talks about how social solidarity can be created by the variety of social and occupational roles that people have, but the underlying root of this solidarity is within the shared learning of morality. He specifically talks about laws within the umbrella of morality, but we can also apply this concept to our topic today, in that teaching children discipline is imperative when trying to strengthen social cohesion and the collective experience. And this doesn't necessarily mean that they lose their sense of individuality. Author and expert Andrew Ottaway said that much of Durkheim's understanding of the individual came from the societal level. Since social roles are so diverse, the education system must then also be diverse in the way that things are taught to and absorbed by children. The socialization process that children in traditional schooling undergo is what gives them the means to develop their individuality as adults and enter into these diverse social roles, which then creates solidarity.
The interpersonal skills that children develop through traditional schooling not only shape their individual identities, but also play a crucial role in their integration into society and their ability to foster social cohesion. Du Bois' work underscores the importance of his integration, particularly in the context of navigating systematic inequalities and contributing to collective progress. Du Bois has emphasized the idea of double consciousness, which I know, I keep talking about, but it is so important. It's when individuals in marginalized communities must navigate multiple identities to fit into broader social framework while retaining their own cultural identity. Traditional schools, with their diverse environments, provide opportunities for students to engage in role-taking, collaborating, and cultural exchange. These experiences prepare children to interact effectively with a multicultural society, a skill Du Bois viewed as critical for combating inequality and advocating for social justice. In contrast, homeschooling might limit exposure to diverse perspectives and experiences, potentially reducing a child's ability to empathize with others and contributing to collective societal goals. The absence of structured group activities and shared experiences could hinder the development of a collective conscience, which thinkers like Durkheim and Cooley argue is essential for societal functioning. Durkheim, for instance, saw education as a tool for instilling shared values and norms necessary for maintaining social cohesion. However, proponents of homeschooling might argue that it allows for school more focused curriculum that can still instill societal values through family and community interactions. For Du Bois, through the lack of direct engagement with diverse groups might result in a narrowing worldview, ultimately limiting the ability to contribute to the collective good, a core principle in his advocacy for education and civil rights. This tension highlights the broader debate about how education systems can balance individual development with societal integration.
To provide a slight contrast, Mead says that what's important is being able to work as a group and to understand others in the world. People all have these nonverbal ways of telling others how they are feeling. If it's someone pounding in the corner, arms crossed to show everyone else that they are mad or upset, or if it's someone beaming, body language open and engaged to show someone is excited and eager to talk. Children learn this from having conversations with others, and they learn how others portray that to the world. This is something that can only be learned through interaction and experience. Another way children learn to interact with society is through symbols. Symbols are taught in the classroom in various ways. Raising hands is one example of a symbol being used in the classroom. These symbols are very important to feel part of the community that is society. Mead said this in his essay, The Behavioristic Account of the Significant Symbol. The individual is born into a world of significant symbols, and it is only by learning their meanings that he becomes a member of society. The use of symbols enables the individual to take the attitudes and others toward himself, which is necessary for the development of the self. This shows how important these social symbols are to us as a society. Going back to the hand-raising example, putting your hand in the air doesn't really mean anything in a literal sense, but it is just your hand above your head. However, we have given it the deeper meaning that you need attention, and it's a call to attention. Also, similar to Du Bois, Mead also emphasizes the importance of role-taking. We slowly stop just thinking about what we know, how we feel when things happen, and start stepping into the shoes of others and realizing how they feel. We teach children this in the classroom naturally when problems and conflicts come up between two peers. For example, if a child were to call another child a name or make fun of them, we tend to ask the child who committed the crime, "How do you think so-and-so feels when you tell them you don't like them or when you call them names?" Most children know how they would feel when they get made fun of, and they would answer badly. This realization of how the opposing child feels is very important. Knowing how someone feels is an important part of society, and it also helps you develop your decision-making. It helps you realize right from wrong, and it also helps you connect to someone on a different level. Holy cow, you guys really are experts. So y'all, I understand interpersonal skills and social cohesion are important to these kids, but how do having these skills help them when they're all grown and going about in the real world?
Du Bois' analysis of education and societal transformation offers a profound lens for understanding how the interpersonal skills children develop today shape the future. Du Bois viewed education as a dual-purpose tool, fostering individual self-realization and addressing systematic inequalities. He emphasized that education must prepare individuals to grapple with societal challenges while also cultivating critical consciousness, a combination he believed was essential for the group's progress of marginalized groups and societal as a whole. He argued that education should enable individuals, especially those from oppressed communities, to reconcile this dual identity. For the future generation, this means equipping children to understand their unique position within society while empowering them to challenge structural injustices. If education institutions fail to cultivate this balance, the inequalities of the present will persist into the future. Du Bois' Talented Tenth framework also reinforces the idea that education is a pathway for societal transformation. He believed a well-educated minority could lead efforts for societal changes and uplift the broader community. In practical terms, this places immense importance on teaching interpersonal skills such as empathy, critical thinking, and collaborating problem solving. A generation lacking these skills would struggle to build coalition, advocacy, for justice and enact meaningful change. He campaigned an education that fosters leadership, ethical reasoning, and a commitment to the collective good. In a bigger context, Du Bois' ideas highlight how these educational foundations impact future society structures. A society that invests in inclusive, critically engaged education will likely produce leaders and citizens capable of addressing global changes like inequality, climate change, and political unrest.
Learning all these skills, if it's learning to understand others through yourself, learning nonverbal communication, knowing how to interact with others in a socialized way, or taking things from your past to learn how to interact in the future, Mead would say that these skills translate to children's ability to be a productive adult in the future. Adults need these basic skills to evolve more complex social skills. Understanding how people feel without them telling you starts out as learning how someone feels from them telling you and learning the correlation. We all know that adults are still learning to understand others without communication, but we wouldn't be able to advance the way we do if we don't have the basic fundamentals that school offers us. Imagine an adult that didn't build their social skills as a kid and didn't understand how to filter themselves and just said whatever they thought. That would not make for a very good situation. That is why we teach children these skills at a young age, when they're absorbing all the information and the world around them, so they could transform themselves into well-mannered people in society.
Similarly, Cooley's ideas on social cohesion and collective consciousness suggest that society's success depends on how well individuals interact and cooperate, building on how Du Bois' view of education as a tool for growth and equality and Mead's emphasis on early social skills shaping adulthood. The interpersonal skills learned in childhood are foundational for fostering social harmony as they help people understand each other's needs and work together towards common goals. If children lack these skills, particularly in homeschooling settings with limited social exposure, they may struggle to contribute to society in the same way. On a larger scale, this can affect the future generation's ability to address social challenges, work together across differences, and drive social progress. A society that encourages interpersonal development in childhood, like traditional schools do, is more likely to produce a generation that is connected, empathetic, and capable of working collectively for the common good.
So I think Durkheim goes about it in slightly a different way, in that he really focuses on how society can affect individual success. Going back to social facts and anomie, we know that when an institution isn't properly serving the needs of the people, there is division and conflict. So there's a concern with traditional schooling if the educational system is corrupt, because this corruption will be reinforced within the future generation. And this is why so many people choose to homeschool their kids. However, in his book Suicide, Durkheim says that for the future generation to bring about change, they simply cannot be isolated individuals. How would a socially isolated person rally a cause? How would they convince people that they know what's best moving forward if they aren't integrated in society? In order to reform the education system, society itself must be reformed, and this can only happen if the future generations are socially integrated and committed to the collective. Durkheim's thoughts on this make sense when you consider the time and place he was living in, which was France after the Franco-Prussian War. Professor David Boot explains that Durkheim was seeing so much anomie within individuals due to the devastation of war, which highly influenced his sociological framework of looking at societal structures to understand the behavior of individuals. He believed that the restoration of France would result from putting a heavy emphasis on traditional structured schooling, which will produce a highly integrated future generation focused on building back a strong collective. So Durkheim looked at the here and now, and with homeschooling on the rise, he would definitely say that this is an issue that could affect society as a whole. The solution would be to create a collective consciousness, which will help propel change through a shared lived experience.
Woo, boy, we talked about a lot today, from interpersonal skills to social roles and cohesion, all the way to future implications. I think I can speak for all our loyal listeners when I say you all solidified our understanding of these experts' views on non-traditional schooling. Thank you so much for joining me here today and giving us all y'all's knowledge. And thank you to our lovely listeners for tuning in today. See y'all next week with a new episode of Sociology in the Modern World. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.